Okay, I'm going to try to teach without any light, y'all. I mean, really, this is hilarious. Jesus, just bring those. Jesus. Yes, devil, we just stomped on your feet. I heard this pastor, I listen to so many podcasts. I heard this pastor say, if you want to talk to a devil, write it on your shoe. Because he is under your feet. So devil, screens are working right there. Amen. So zeal, here we are. I'm going to get started. I'm excited. Are you excited? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? This is his word. I am so excited. I believe God wants to awaken us. I said that last week, and I believe God is awakening in us. I believe this session to be a wake-up call. I believe God wants to wake us up. Holy Spirit wants to give us knowledge, and he wants to give us zeal. And he wants to give us rebirth in us and knowledge of our authority. And I believe that will be a dangerous concoction. A dangerous concoction. I read this verse as I was studying way back in December for this teaching. I read this verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 5:14. And it says, because light makes everything easy to see. That's why it says, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, when you read this verse, you probably think like I did, that this is talking about those of us who are dead in Christ. When we die, we're dead. Everybody think that when you read this verse, right? No. Listen to what I found as I dug in. This is why you got to dig in. This is why you got to dig up some plunder, because there's so much treasure in Scripture. Tozer, everybody knows A.W. Tozer. He says this about this verse. This verse was not written to believers that had died. This verse was written to the Ephesians. Thus, it's in the book of Ephesians. One of the best churches, y'all, in the New Testament. It's getting scary. Tozer says some of the Ephesians were in a somnolent condition, which they were heavy with sleep. They were morally good, but unenlightened. They were religious, but unanointed. I believe that describes not just a lot of moms, but I believe that describes a lot of Christians, y'all. And I don't know about you, but that puts the fear of God in me. When I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. That this verse was not written to those who are dead in their physical bodies. This was written to one of the best churches. And yet the people were good. They were good people. They were unenlightened. They were religious. Oh, I bet they did. They did all the things you're supposed to do, but they weren't anointed. Y'all, God needs us to wake up. He wants dry bones to awaken. I talked about that a little last week, Ezekiel 37. Remember, it was not until the breath, the ruach of God went into that valley of dry bones that those bones lived. I believe, y'all, what's missing from so many believers, from so many Christians, is the breath of God propelling them to do the work of God. They're doing the work of God without the breath of God. And it's dead works. There's nothing eternal in that, y'all. We gotta wake up. We gotta wake up. Let this be a rhema word for us today. God, wake me up. Wake me up. There is a war. There is a war that is being waged, not just on my children, but on me, on my marriage. We gotta wake up, y'all. In the all-so-spiritual Bob Marley and his words, wake up and live. I read this, and I want to say this. This is hard. And y'all know I told Jesus I'll say the hard things. I say them all the time. But it, only if you tell me to say it. And this, I'm going to read something to y'all, and it's hard, so just get ready. But I believe, man, I believe if it starts with us, y'all, like we talked about last week, man, let it start with us, right? Let it start with me. I was doing a study on 2 Timothy 3, and that's the danger of empty religion. And this is what this commentary said. Get ready, it's hard. And remember, there is no condemnation. But if this brings about conviction in your heart like it does me, praise God, because conviction brings us to action. This said this, Satan works overtime to destroy Christian homes. Because that is where children should see the reality of Christ in their parents and their relationships. And where they should come to know Christ and be trained in His ways. Listen, nothing will sour kids on the faith more than seeing repeated hypocrisy in their Christian parents. Sobering. Sobering. I won't show you or tell you the statistics of children that turn away from their faith. Y'all, may we mamas wake up. May we be bones that are living because the breath of God is being ignited in us every morning when we're talking to the Lord, or every night, whatever God tells you, whenever you meet with Him. May we not sour our children. May we not tell our children one thing and then we live it another way. Y'all, it's got to start with us. We cannot just be morally good. We got to be anointed. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. Wake up and live this abundant life and allow God to use us. Man, I blow it all the time. But God, use me to ignite something in my kids that will be a lifetime of zeal. We got to wake up. I told you last week, we're going to have a few weeks of arming ourselves with knowledge. Knowledge of some particular people in Scripture that can give us insight into what this zeal looks like. And I told you last week that zeal without knowledge is blind and dangerous. It's blind and it's dangerous. And today and over the next few weeks, we're going to arm ourselves with some knowledge of some folks. And I believe we're going to gain wisdom with some folks who exemplify zeal. People who were zealous for their cause. And our person today, if you follow me on Instagram, I kind of gave it away already, but just go with me. She gets a bad rap. I hope to awaken us to some truth behind this character in the Bible that gets an eye roll from 95% of Christian women. And what's so funny, after researching this woman, is she wasn't even a real person. I hope today to arm us, the Holy Spirit, to give some revelation to you that, like He gave to me as I was in my study of this. Have you guessed who I'm talking about yet? Proverbs 31. Go ahead, roll your eyes. Everybody roll your eyes. I read a quote. It says, I'm somewhere between Proverbs 31 and Medea. Can I get an amen? I'd rather be a Proverbs 31 woman than a Victoria's Secret model. I don't know about that. I would like to be 5'10" and no cellulite, golden skin. No, I'd pick Proverbs 31, I guess. See, I believe, listen, if we can learn some things, if we can gain some wisdom about this woman, and we can put our judgment of her away and allow this woman the opportunity to pass some things to us. Stick. If you were here last session, I forgot my sticks. I was going to bring them, and I forgot as I was getting out of the house today. I believe we're going to gain some powerful insight to continue to ignite our zeal. Now, some history of this mostly hated woman. She's not real. Almost all scholars believe she was a fictitious. She was a compilation of the best traits of a godly woman as a whole. So look, we're going to look at Proverbs 31. Starting in verse 1. Jen, do you have the whole, all the verses? Yes? Okay, I wanted to make sure. I didn't know. So we're going to start in verse 1. So I need you to okay, perfect. Okay. So verse 1, I need you to look. It says, the sayings of King Lemuel. Now, most scholars believe this was Solomon. And then if you look, Jen, go back to that previous slide of verse 1. If you look, it says, do you see what it says? The sayings of King Lemuel, which was probably Solomon, which his mother taught him. His mother taught him. The message says the strong advice his mother gave him. So, if you have a son, like I have a son, think about that frame as we read through Proverbs 31. This was a mother giving wisdom to her son. So, let's read. So, here we go. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Oh, that's beautiful. Do not spend your strength on women, amen. Your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine. Not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed. And deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. So these first 9 verses are a mother's advice. It's personal advice for her son. And I think good advice for her son. She's telling him her advice. So it's more of a personal. Now let's start at verse 10 and read all the way down to verse 30. Now this is where she starts, the part that we all roll our eyes at. This is when she starts meddling. Any mamas meddling in there? I've got an 11-year-old, and I'm still telling him, you're never getting married, you're never having a girlfriend. I mean, I'm already meddling. So here she goes. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That needs to be underlined, is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So here, if you think mothers with sons, and even when you have, I have daughters as well, and when you think about what this mother is giving him advice to look for, wouldn't some of those things you would want your kid to look for in a mate? Yeah, right? I think so. There are four allegorical female personages in the book of Proverbs. There's four. Remember, this is not a real person. Wisdom. There's a personage of folly, of adulteress, and our Proverbs 31. Some amazing facts about this book. Did you know in the Jewish culture, it is not women who memorize Proverbs 31. Women don't memorize this, but the men do. The men, and you know what they do? They don't only memorize it, but they sing it over the women in their lives every Sabbath meal. They sing it over their daughters. They sing it over their wives. Every Sabbath meal. And another fascinating thing about this most hated book of the Bible, did you know that Jewish women also use this passage? They don't memorize it. See, we leave the memorizing to the men. They don't memorize it, but they use this passage to praise one another. That is why, y'all, last session, if you didn't come last session, please go back and listen to the podcast. God continues to bring up truths about the importance of us as women not comparing, not competing, but cheering one another on. Proverbs 31 in the Jewish culture is meant to cheer each other on. Women say it to other women. And one more fascinating thing. Proverbs 31:10. This mother tells her son, who can find a virtuous wife and a capable wife? She is worth far more than rubies. Now this phrase, noble character, virtuous woman, it comes from a Hebrew word, and I've listened to pronunciation.com. I've listened to a lady from Israel say it, and I've listened to a male from the United States say it, and I'm not going to say it well, but we're going to say this all day, so y'all better find your greatest Southern accent, because y'all are all going to say this to one another. The phrase virtuous woman, it comes from this word, eset cheil. And if you heard the Israeli woman say it, it was so beautiful. She didn't even say that C. I don't even know. It's so beautiful. Look this up on Google today. Eset cheil. And it translates as a woman of valor. And do you know what the Jewish women do? They are said to go by each other and say, "Eset cheil." It's their version of, "You go, girl. You got this." So look at your sister beside you and say, "You are an eset cheil." You are a virtuous. The women, y'all, the women say it to one another, and then their husbands sing it over them. And yet we hate this chapter in the Bible. Do you see what knowledge, what wisdom can be gleaned? A virtuous woman, a virtuous by definition means characterized by or possessing virtue or moral excellence, righteous uprightness. You are an eset cheil. You are, no matter your past. Can we not just look at this woman, as a standard to reach, but as qualities to strive to produce? I want my son to look for certain qualities in a wife, but I dare say, can I exemplify those to him first? I want him to have a wife that's quiet. Blown that one already. Blown it out the door. Oh, dang it. But y'all, I'm striving to hold my tongue. But we put this woman as a standard to reach. Oh, I don't sew, and I don't get up in the middle of the night, and you know, I don't do any of that. And you might say, I want to be sensitive. You might say, this is not what my story looks like. My life, my past, cannot be characterized by this. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I do when nobody's looking. You don't know the habit that I have. You don't know the monkey on my back. Can I say to you today, your Father God looks at you and says, you are an essential, no matter what. I don't care what you go to cope. I don't care about that crutch. You, regardless, because of my blood, I see you as an essential. You also may say, I'll never have a husband that sings that over me. My husband only speaks death over me. Isaiah says, regardless, he is your husband. The Lord your maker is your husband. Isaiah 54:5 says, so God, your ultimate husband, looks at you today and says, daughter, you are an essential. You are. You may say, my story doesn't look like this woman, but let me give you one more person, one more woman in Scripture that maybe, though, if you're like me, I can relate to this one. And one other person in Scripture, I just love how the Lord does this. Like, we have this fictitious, perfect woman. And then there's one more woman in Scripture that it is said, this essential is spoken over her. And you know who it is? It's Ruth. Ruth. Boaz says to her, and now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know, here it is, that you are an essential. Ruth's life was not all bonbons. If you know anything about Ruth, she was a widow left with debt. She had no children, which was a huge thing back in those days. She was poor, and she was left taking care of her mother-in-law. Yet Boaz sees her as her father God saw her, as an essential. Maybe you say, I can relate to that. Regardless of who you relate to, you, mom, are a woman of valor. Do you know what a woman of valor? Valor is boldness, determination in facing great danger, especially in battle, heroic courage, bravery. If you are a mom, you exemplify this every day. Every day. And if you are a daughter, if you have received Jesus, he sees you as this. He speaks this over you. It doesn't matter if your husband says it ever over you. You pray that God will soften his heart and that he will. But listen, your daddy God says it over you every minute of your life. You, my daughter, because my cross made you an essential. But we focus so much on all this doing that this so-called woman did. We get stuck there. We get stuck in her doing that we can't move past it. Another interesting thing about this book of Proverbs, Charles Swindoll. I loved it, y'all. There's just so much goodness in the body of Christ. I love to pull from so much. Charles Swindoll says this about the book of Proverbs. So just, this is good for us to know in context. Proverbs states its theme explicitly very early in the book. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," which is what we're all this session, I'm believing God's going to awaken knowledge in all of us. But it starts with a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord refers to our viewing Him with respect that He deserves. It means living our lives in light of what we know of Him, holding Him in the highest estimation, and depending on Him with humble trust. Only then, Proverbs teaches, will we discover knowledge and wisdom. So Proverbs, y'all, this book itself is supposed to give us wisdom. We can glean wisdom from Proverbs 31. I believe this morning you've already gleaned some wisdom. And see, but we focus so much on this doing that this woman does that we don't ourselves do. And we measure ourselves up by our doing, that the enemy then blinds us to the truth and the wisdom that we could glean from this woman. And listen, just like the book of Proverbs, the theme is the fear of the Lord. Do you notice what this mother, Solomon's mother, tells him tucked in between verses 10 and 30? Is the key of this whole book. This mother lays out the wisdom, the advice for her son. She leaves the reason behind the doing that this woman does at the end. But we're so aggravated with the verses before, we never get here. And look, I bet, how many of your daughters have this in their room? How many of you tell your daughter, like, this is Pinterest right here. And we can deal with this, but forget the other 29 verses. But many of us don't even get to this verse because we're so aggravated because we've measured ourselves up with the first 29 verses. This right here is the crux of the whole passage. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who gets up and cooks for her family is to be praised. No, but a woman who clothes her children with scarlet, Ma Ingalls at her best. No, the mom who is on every PTA board, the mom who makes sure her son or her daughter gets in the best college. No, the woman who just does so much for her family, that all those 29 verses tell us that she did is to be praised? No. Solomon, John William, a woman, my daughter-in-law, the mother of my grandchildren, I want a woman who fears the Lord. I want you to choose not necessarily a woman who clothes, knits scarlet and is an entrepreneur and goes out and buys a field. I don't care about all that, Solomon. I don't care about that, John William. A woman who fears the Lord. Can we not get stuck in all the verses before this one that we miss the purpose? The doing that this woman did was driven by a zeal because of her fear of the Lord. See, once you get a knowledge of Jesus, a knowing of what He's done for you, like we said last week, it comes out in your choices, right? There are things that you don't do as a mom because you just know that wouldn't honor God, right? There's choices that we make, and the deeper we fall in love with him, the more we have a knowledge of him, we fear him, we revere him. As I teach my children, I tell them all the time, I want your have to become your want to, not because of you, you have to obey, but because you fear the Lord first, and then you better fear me. Because we know him, it ignites us to want to live and live out of that place. We want to honor him in our homes. Don't let her doing deter you from what propelled her to do. It's not all that she does that gets the praise. This mother does not praise this woman for her doing. This woman praises her because of her fear of the Lord. Man. Man. Fear the Lord. Where fear is present, wisdom cannot be. And if you fear all of this stuff that she does, if you stay there, the wisdom of this book cannot come through. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. So today, may what God has ignited in us, this knowledge of this fictitious woman, may it lend us to wisdom. And may that come out in our choices. And may that come out in our homes, in our marriages. And may you walk out of this room knowing regardless of what you do, you don't do, what you've done, and what you're going to do, that God sees you as an asset jail. And may you be motivated to speak that over the babies in your life, that they will grow up to know they too are not just for women, they are men of valor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.